Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 76, Episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries. Ads keep slipping into our network from
the end. It's not a game.
We are working as hard as we can to keep them out, but just in case anyone is confused, our official policy at Der Daily Zeitgeist is fuck Coke Industries.
And eat a whole dick.
The whole one. All the way down. Yeah, we suggest you go elsewhere for your oil refining needs.
And general destruction of democracy.
Yeah.
Other shit like that.
It's Thursday, April 4th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Cucker Tarlson, courtesy of Waffle Blaster. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles chimes in with a haven't you people ever heard of... Rating a podcast more? No, it's much better to eat the flats of wings with a sense of erectile calamity.
Wow. Fucking at Just TDZ AKs.
That's too good.
With a I Write Sins Not Tragedies inspired one. That's funny because that's like the one Panic at the Disco song I listen to or I like because the melody is so ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Closing the goddamn door. No. Okay.
You got that. Yeah. That early 2000s punk
like emo shit.
Bullshit.
I do have if you look out there, there is a little acoustic guitar emo mixtape.
Miles is wearing so much eyeliner today.
No, this is just Latisse, baby.
Oh, okay.
Looks very thick, so it looks like I have eyeliner.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the wonderful activist, storyteller, Politico, Taz Ahmed.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
You know, the world sucks, but I'm here. I'm alive.
That's right. I feel you, man. We'll get into it. I've been feeling
all the feelings.
Yeah.
It's also kind of cloudy in LA. Mm-hmm. So I feel like as soon as the sun goes away, I'm like, seasonal depression. But it's so silly because right. It's California.
Are you affected by the lack of sunlight typically?
I didn't think I was until this year.
Oh, okay.
It's been cloudy. It's so rainy. Yeah. Luckily, we got super blooms and painted ladies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, what's a painted lady?
Those are the butterflies that are like coming through LA. Yeah.
Oh, little, that like grayish monarch looking ones.
They're like taking over the
that
freeways.
That was like last week when people were like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It's weird. I didn't have the privilege, the opportunity to drive through butterfly. I don't know. I just, wherever I was,
this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
They're like driving through.
The wings are all littered all over my car.
Oh.
It's so sad.
Did you just drive through like a cloud of them, like on
it
the
felt
10
like
or something?
It. Yeah, it was on, I was driving to the Salton Sea actually out in the desert because I was checking out Desert X and I was just driving through and it's just yellow blobs.
Pop, pop, pop.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is so sad.
I know there's people who are like so torn up driving through them.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
By the way, Miles's impression of somebody going, what is this deal with all these? That was me.
Was that you?
Yeah, that was
me.
Oh,
yeah, that is true.
So I'm glad.
They were all
glad
over
to
you.
Know how I sound inside your head.
No, it's funny because I just saw, like, I don't know if you remember on Twitter, there was just butterfly tweets.
Everywhere,
that was like
the flavor of the day,
if you the tweet of the day, if you
they
would
were wild, man. They were everywhere.
They're pretty.
Where were you seeing them?
Front yard. Just walking out and it's definitely a sort of thing that when you're walking with a 2-year-old, they're like, whoa,
right.
What the fuck?
Sensory overload.
They're not saying fuck, usually, you're a better parent than me. Mine was, but all right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Taz, but first we're going to tell our listeners just a few of the things we're talking about today. The Game of Thrones merch report.
Mm-hmm.
We know the Bud Knight has been slain, but Oreo is out here with some Game of Thrones cookies. We're going to talk about Trump being not so hot on people seeing the Mueller report now for some reason. We're not totally sure why.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, and, you know, as we talked about yesterday, his approval has not jumped up the way that you might have expected it to. So people might find that sort of behavior suspicious. I don't know. We'll talk about why and how he's communicating that, though. We're going to talk about Nipsey Hussle's killer being caught and Russell Westbrook's tribute to him on the basketball court. We're going to talk about DHS just disbanding its domestic terror unit for some reason, just at the time that you would think you would not want to do that. We're going to talk about the DOJ getting involved in the film industry somehow, which I guess is not as bad as that sounds, and security clearance releases, the Joker trailer, all sorts of shit. And most of all, Cucker Tarlson catching heat from the Bronx.
Yeah.
From the Bronx.
He asked for it. He got the smoke.
He's, yeah. But first, Taz, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, gosh. I was looking, I was actually in the desert this weekend for a wedding, and I was searching Desert X, which is this art exhibit that's going on. So trying to like track down where the exhibits were. I don't know how many there are, but they're just kind of like out in the middle, you know, just these beautiful installations.
Yeah, all over the Coachella Valley in there. Yeah. Did you get the app?
I got the app.
Yeah.
I also got the VR app. So there's a couple of the exhibits are you have to look at through your phone, and then it's gorgeous through your phone. But yeah, that was really cool. I highly recommend.
Yeah, if you're in the area, for sure. I mean, I think people remember last year if you were on Instagram and lived in LA, people kept popping up with like photos with like a house made of mirrors.
Yeah, that one was cool.
And that was from I think last year.
It's just out in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, they just put these art installations like in the desert, and then there are some places like in Palm Springs where they took over some vacant storefronts and did installations there. So it's a mix of all kinds of art, but yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff of just like sculpture, like just out in the desert that you can kind of check out.
You just find it on social media, like people.
Well, no, there's an app.
About it.
There's an app that and a very cryptic website.
Yeah.
I remember at first when I was out there trying to check stuff out, I'm like, this website isn't giving me much.
Right.
But there's an app. There's always an app for something.
That's dope. What was the installation that you saw?
I went to the Salton Sea because I'm really fascinated by the Salton Sea, which is this kind
of
like,
interesting. Yeah.
Like accidental ocean in the middle of the desert.
From like industrial runoff or something?
Yeah. Well, not industrial runoff. It was the Colorado River, right? It was like a broken aqueduct for like 3 years or something.
Right. Oh. And it just created this like sea in the middle of the desert. And then people started vacationing there, right?
Yeah. There's a place called Bombay Beach out there, which I was really fascinated by. So there's a couple of exhibits on the water there. And it's gorgeous. The lake stinks. The sea stinks.
Because it's not just dried up. Yeah. All the fish died. Everything died.
It's so weird.
Including the vacation communities around there.
Yeah,
so it's now a bunch of ghost towns, right?
Yeah.
Well, and also where, like, everybody shoots their first music video.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's so many, like, sort of abandoned buildings and, like remnants of this once thriving vacation town.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you went there, and were there installations there?
There's one in the water. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just, like, a two-dimensional sculpture in the water. So that one was cool. And then that was the place where I saw the VR one. So as you're walking through, you pull up the app and then you kind of just see like a cloud of colors that you're walking through and walking around.
Oh, that's
yeah. Guys,
weird.
Get that art in. Get your art in.
Yeah.
It's soothing.
I was trying to find, have you like gone to the Super Blooms?
I tried and we couldn't find them.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like
I thought they at one point didn't they just shut down
they
like
shut down
Lake Elsinore?
Yeah,
they're like,
yo,
just
like,
get the fuck
so
out of here.
Traffic.
Right.
We're gonna try again this week. I'm gonna go with my sister to Antelope Valley.
Yeah.
Which is where the blooms are now blooming.
Like really popping off. And I was like, if you grew up, I don't know. Actually, a lot of people, I feel like even outside, there was a picture of like this hills. I think in either in Lake Elsinore or the Antelope Valley that was like on every textbook. I think it was a math book or a California history book. Anyway, just
I have
a weird
vague
fact.
Recollection of
is
that.
Is it all the poppies?
Yeah, it's like an orange-filled poppy thing, and that's like our thing. But I'm like, I think this is on a Hofstra Mifflin mathematics book
for
or some
sure.
shit.
Yeah,
I
remember that too.
I have a vague recollection of that.
Yeah, so you know, if you guys are trying to figure out, look at that old book and then know that that's our state flower.
Yeah.
And you can't have it.
But now because of Instagram culture, it's like just clouds of people just with orange dust all over their shoes.
I think it's kind of charming. Like,
oh, for sure.
You know, like, I think
this is like what we come together around.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's so much, whatever, terrible things in the world, but there's a mass of people causing a traffic jam because they want to go see flowers. That's cute.
Yeah. I think that, it is uplifting where like we're all just kind of like, we need this.
Yeah.
Let's go look at the flowers. Let's look at something nice.
Just come with your own adult diapers because there's not, they don't put up bathrooms out there.
That's
so
true.
You know,
ooh.
You took it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Wait, you can't just have a spontaneous culture festival and that nobody prepares for. So.
And that's, that's right. Because you, on the side, you hustle, you sell diapers out there. On
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And honey buckets.
What is something you think is overrated?
Let's see. I think something that's overrated is I did. Oh God, this is so LA of me. So I'm sorry. I did hot spin class. Like, you know what? How, you know how they have hot yoga?
Like Bikram yoga?
Yeah, but then they do it for spin class.
Where you just spin around?
No, you just do like cycling, but it's in the room is like 80 degrees, so you're just like sweating buckets.
Oh. Jesus.
Overrated.
Yeah.
It also seems unhealthy.
Like, I know, but I guess there's a whole genre of people that like sweating.
Yeah.
Which is not me.
Right. Because I guess it's like the logical conclusion, like, or next step, because everyone's like, hot yoga, hot yoga, hot yoga. It's like, right. How do we hot? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot we're restaurants.
Be hot podcasting soon hot, enough.
Yeah. Jesus. That would be a show, right? That someone goes, the only podcast recording in 110 degree studio.
Right. Just sauna time.
And people are just like, ugh. Dude, what the fuck? Why are you in here?
And I signed up for it accidentally. Like, I was just thought I was signing up for a regular spin class. And I
you
was
just
like,
thought it was hot figuratively.
This is not good.
Wait, so it's not even a place built for, they're just turn up the thermostat, basically?
No, no, it is a place built for sweating.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hope it's not just people going like, our new
I
thing.
I just didn't read the small print.
Right, right.
That was my bad.
Yeah, because I feel like spin classes are hard enough. I can't bring myself to do a spin class, but everyone I know who does it always just like limping the next day.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like, all right, looks like you got your dollar's worth.
Yeah. I like to pay for some really physically fit person to be mean to me for like 45 minutes.
Well,
does that work?
Yeah. I don't even exercise, but they're mean to me about not
push you around.
So it's like dividends, you know. Down the road, it will like the self reproach and bad feelings that I have about myself will then bloom into motivation.
Oh,
wow, is my dream. That's what I'm hoping will happen. But yeah, no, that's how like you always hear about high school wrestlers like having strokes and shit is like the just sweat it out, get rid of all the water.
Oh, right, yeah, like. Yeah. Tape up a garbage bag all over your body and just do a bike.
There's a thing in LA that is just you sit on a chair, they put like bags around your arms, and then you just sweat. And they
is that a workout?
No. It's
or,
like they
or a detoxifying
they advertise
thing?
It. Yeah, it's like a detoxifying like faux workout. They're like, you don't even have to move and you get all the sweat out of you.
Jesus.
But it's
some of the most passive shit.
I know.
They're like, I don't want to exercise.
So LA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're looking for very quick solutions to things that should just be solved with
just
cart-
sit
commitment
there
and
watch
hard work.
Netflix while they while they bleed you, basically. It's modern day bleeding. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. I'm really into. Do you know Chani Nichols? The astrologer?
No.
She's like an astrologer to like, I don't know, like all the activists that I know. She's here in LA, but she has a Spotify playlist that's done by astrology. So like depending on what your star sign is, each month Spotify will update it for the month.
Uh-huh.
And she's been doing it since the beginning of this year. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
What about the music is sort of like, okay, if this is your, according to the celestial heavens.
I mean, we can look at, what's your star sign? We can look it up right now.
I'm a Virgo.
We can see what your.
It's going to be very chill music. Mm. It's probably what I'm just playing at the end of the show.
Right.
Really.
Yeah, yeah. Turns out this is how Miles has been doing all his picks all along. It's funny, like I get sort of, I'm not a like, you know, big believer in astrology or like fate or shit like that. But like when it comes to like what my like iPod or iPhone puts on shuffle, I'm like, yeah, this is like,
right?
This is the fates deciding what my mood will be for the next, you know, three. And sometimes it really like syncs up. It's pretty cool.
Are you a big?
Here.
Oh, okay. Let's see this.
This is your.
This is Virgo
for the month.
Okay, so let's play this track by Les Leaf. Let's just check this one out. Oh, yep. That sounds like me. Okay, what about this next one? Ari Lennox, 40 Shades of Choke.
That's hot. That does sound like you.
It's like
straight up.
They have a Princess Nokia track I already played on the show. Fuck out of here. I mean, it's so funny, right? Because we always talk about this on the show where, like, obviously, you know, it's hard to be, like, a person of science or, like, think, like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of people come on the show and try and reconcile, like, I'm a very logical person. It's like, but my one fucking guilty pleasure is just looking at my chart, talking that Susan Miller shit.
Yeah. I like crystals. I'm super logical, but I like crystals in my pocket.
It's just more, like, just for the feeling. Then you're more...
The crystals? I think... Well, I mean, like, for this one, I really do like music.
Right,
and
right,
I think
right.
What I love about And I've been the kind of person that always like would make mixed CDs and give it to friends when I thought, you know, I was like, oh, I think these songs like relate to you. So this is kind of like the astrology version of a mixtape.
So what's your sign?
I'm a Cancer.
Okay, so what kind of vibe is your, what are your songs?
This month I'm supposed to be like super confident. So then when I was listening to it, I was like, I'm all about this.
Okay, so it's in conjunction with whatever an astrologer believes is happening. Oh, yeah. Okay, because for me, I'm like, I'm always sort of like the same note.
Yeah. No, but person, it looks like you're going to be queen of the shit this month and excellent.
Oh, okay.
According to this.
My God, my sign is all 90s rap and children's music. Damn. That would be amazing. Oh, they just nail my super specific. That's dope, though. Do you do that? Do you like have like shit on shuffle and you're just like, yeah.
I seldom use shuffle. Syncing up. I'm very like intentional when I listen to music. I'm like, I need to hear this. Yeah. Or whatever. But I mean, sometimes I'll just put a playlist on of shit I've already put together, or like a playlist that's curated by like a label or a producer that I like. But yeah.
Yeah.
I try not to get too in the shuffle. What's Jack's?
What's your star sign?
Leo.
What do I search on Spotify?
Just Leo. Spotify Leo.
This is your playlist. This is your cosmic playlist. Mm. Starting off, this is Heartbeat by Reyna.
Oh, you have a good month too, according to this track.
Oh, yeah.
Tracklist.
For oh, sure. Damn. Flawless by Beyonce?
Uh-huh.
Who else you got? J Balvin? Okay.
Honest. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Wow.
Sound of Rain.
Love Language by Kehlani.
Okay.
Get Into the Party Life by Lion
I'm
Babe.
I'm Too Sexy. Uh-huh. You're having a good month.
Good Girl Gone Bad by Rihanna and Rude Boy by Rihanna.
Wow. Ooh.
Okay. I need some of your energy.
I need some Leo energy. Flawless?
Yeah.
Wow, Jack. Okay.
All right.
Big things.
You have a good month ahead of you.
Big things in April.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Well, you slay all day, queen. Slay all month, honey.
What is a myth, finally? What is something that people think is true you know to be false?
Okay. You know what's false?
What's that?
Those bars when you're in a hotel that like are supposed to protect you from people barging in. Okay. This is my story.
Wait, what do you mean the bars?
You know the security bars? Those like...
The latch lock.
Yeah.
So I checked into a hotel in Palm Springs this weekend. And when I went up to my room to open the door, the latch was already closed. So when I went down to the front desk, I was like, the latch is closed. She went up with this like tool to open the latch so that I could get into the room. And it was a booked up hotel. So I couldn't, she didn't have another room for me. So the latch, the metal key thing that she has broke in the door. And so she finds out from this other hotel guy that you can just use your plastic card, the key card, put it in an envelope, kind of like jimmy it in there and like lift up the latch.
Oh, fuck.
Which makes me think like, fuck.
Wait, what are we talking about? We're talking about the like little U-shaped thing over that?
Mm-hmm.
You just pop it in you and it pushes it back?
Oh, like if you just crack the door a little bit and then you can nudge it out?
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
There you go, Zeitgang.
Tips for murderers. Yes. Brought to you by the Daily Zeitgeist. God. Wow, that's so funny. I mean, that makes sense, right? Because if you did have someone that was incapacitated, like in a hotel room who did have the latch on, like, it would be terrible to be
There was that case of the woman who was raped in her hotel room because it was in Iowa in 2014 where the door is locked. This like assaulter like convinced the front desk person to let him into the room. And then she had the lock on the door. So then they like got the front desk person to open the room up with the thing. And then he went in and raped her.
Oh my Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this was in the news this
month. Then what the fuck are we supposed to do?
I don't know. I was really freaked out this weekend.
Because then that chain one, you can just clip with bolt cutters.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if we've all seen The Professional.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I'm just impressed by the scam, though.
Meaningful door locks.
Yeah. Right.
I suggest just putting a bunch of chairs in front of the door.
Yeah, like probably just barricade the door. Shit. Yeah.
And then like a bunch of cans and like bells and shit. Yeah. So you hear them coming, like barriers.
Right. You shatter a light bulb and you put the broken glass pieces in the hallway so you hear somebody walking through like Mission Impossible.
I am a big believer in Home Alone style security systems.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, I guess Zeitgang, if you have tips to properly secure a hotel room, please hit us up with your suggestions.
Yeah, I know that was super depressing, but I feel like I just discovered this weekend. That's
depressing, but also super useful.
To know that there's, despite you feeling secure, like there's still a vulnerability.
Scam queen Lacey Mosley, Taz is coming for you.
Yeah.
She just gave us the
But Taz is coming from a different angle. She's like, protect yourself. So people like the scammers don't get you.
Right. or protect yourself.
And then Lacey's angle would be like, Lacey would be like, don't let that thing hold you back. Put a key card in an envelope and get you whatever you're trying to steal in that room. Hopefully it's not an assault and it's something lighthearted.
Yes.
But again, still disconcerting.
Totally disconcerting.
All right. Oreo, you guys.
Yes.
They are on the Game of Thrones bandwagon.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I'm not like... The only reason I wanted to bring this story up is because I just realized that the final season is beginning next Sunday, and I can finally be free from the nightmare of just wanting to know how the fuck they're going to end the series.
Yeah. I have a confession. I haven't watched any of them.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Is that okay? Can I still eat these Oreos? Is there one?
Do you like Oreos?
I like Oreos. Yeah. Is there like a character I should be eating first?
No, I think at the end of the day, if it's something you're consuming, it makes little difference what the design is on the cookie itself.
I mean, they're cute designs.
I think it's more for people when you're having that Game of Thrones party, you know, you want to put out the GOT Oreos. As they're out now, and as they describe it, it's a playful new take on the original cookie, and it features four unique embossments spotlighting the great houses still battling for the Iron Throne and the enemy White Walkers beyond the wall. Personally,
the
Night
King looks like
Darth
Black
Maul.
Panther.
Oh,
or Dark Maul. Yeah,
Darth Maul or Black Panther. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know who that is, but I guess it's the Night King.
Technically, we do.
Yeah, it's Game of Thrones, so I guess we'll go with Night King. Just personally, I'm just curious, Jack. I know you watch.
I do.
Do you want it to end a certain way?
Yeah. I do. I mean, I have a soft spot for Arya. You know, I want to see her. Like, I just don't want to see her go down, basically. I don't care about really anyone else.
Yeah. Like, I just hope everybody dies.
Really?
I think that should be the...
Even Arya?
I don't know. I just feel like that would be so dark and fuck people up.
So
because it's kind of like a metaphor. You know, it depends on how you look at the metaphor of who the White Walkers are. Some people say, like, there's like this...
Right.
Force coming that we're trying to fight.
So here's my one hope for the final season is that the White Walkers, by the season's midpoint, are gone. Like, they figure out how to kill the White Walkers, and then it's like the aftermath and everybody scrambling to like see who, like, rather than it ending with them killing the White Walkers, which feels like that, you just like kind of know that story shape. Whereas if it's like World War II ends and then chaos, like who, like what happens in the aftermath?
Right.
Like, I feel like that would be dope.
Okay. Were they trying to cut up the newly found grounds and we see capitalism take over and the native people are pushed out? And they're like, well, actually, I invaded here, man. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want.
There's a Red Scare among the Lannisters.
It's just like, what the fuck is going on?
Wait, so are the White Walkers Nazis?
No, they're
could
more
be global warming.
Global warming. They're global like a warming. Natural almost. They don't like really have intentionality that is very I mean, they have intentionality, but just they're more automatons. Like, they're just like there to kill everything.
They're
I
just
see.
Yeah, consume life.
Yeah.
Much like our Earth clapping back on us. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean,
are
maybe
the
it'll end nice.
Nazis? Who are the Nazis?
I mean, they're the ones who have a lot of the gold and they. I don't know, bro. I'm not really trying to look into this. We got enough like real Nazis in life.
Yeah, no,
I'm not
exactly.
trying to like pick
I guess
apart
we don't
Game
need,
of Thrones.
I mean, is that something that's changed? Is that we don't need metaphorical Nazis anymore in our stories because we have real Nazis?
Jesus Christ. I don't know, man. Yeah. It's just like exhausting to even think about. I'm like, do I need to see someone with Nazis?
Well, I think the using global warming though is an interesting twist on it. Like,
well,
I didn't
really
like think about.
Because it's sort of
disasters.
A narrative where, like, a lot of these people were feuding with each other until they have this sort of, they have this new threat that they can actually all kind of band together and sort of leave their differences behind because they face a much larger existential threat.
Right.
But take that however you want to. Maybe it's a metaphor for SoundCloud rappers.
Do you think it's too shitty for us to talk about, like, a fan theory for, like, a twist that might be coming? Do you think
Not
our,
yet.
Our
let's,
fans? All right. We'll hold off on that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break so I can talk to Miles about this fan theory, and then we'll be right back. And we're back. And whew, how about that theory, huh, Miles?
I'm shook, man.
Watch out now.
Yeah,
I'm
shook.
Let's talk about the other thing that people are just waiting on the edge of their seat to see how it ends. That Mueller report.
Yeah.
So, it seems like the White House, you know, people were like, exoneration, it's all good. And that was the end of that story as far as the Trump administration wanted it to. Yeah, moving on.
And we don't have to talk about that anymore.
So what's the latest here, Miles?
Well, just now, I mean, this isn't really much of a story. Just something we're seeing evolve now is now the tone is changing from the White House being like, I don't know if we actually need everybody to see the Mueller report. Like Trump is saying like, well, the Democrats want the Mueller report and then they're going to want more and more and more. Like what? More of the truth?
Right.
Yeah. And then also like there was another criticism of saying like, oh, you know, Robert Mueller was like their godlike figure for the last 2 years. And now we don't hear anything about Robert Mueller. It's like, yeah, you are. It's everyone's screaming for Department of Justice to let them see the Mueller report.
I don't even understand that criticism. That are they just like, where's your God now, libs?
Well, he was just kind of like, oh, he's like, y'all didn't care. After we find out that his report exonerates me, it doesn't. Right. Now they want to move on and not really talk about him. Like that was sort of his spin on it. Everyone's like, what the?
Yeah.
No one is saying that.
Right.
But really, I think it's just something to keep an eye on because, you know, it's also with everything that's going on this week between him being like, I'm going to shut the fucking Mexican border down.
Right.
Like
avocados not coming to the
California. And like just, you know, causing a real economic crisis there. That would be a pretty good distraction from people to talk about the Mueller report. Or, you know, screaming about Puerto Rico like this week and acting like, oh, you know, the United States citizens who live in Puerto Rico, the aid that we sent and, you know, didn't even really do a good job of helping Puerto Rico. Oh, that was taking money away from farmers. Like that spin. There's just a lot of just dumb shit going on. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Just any way he can pit white people against not white people is sort of his.
The name of the game.
That's the strategy.
Because racism.
Yep. Because racism.
Mm. All right, we solved that.
So Nipsey Hussle's killer was caught by police before he was caught by Crips.
Yeah.
And,
you know, kind of talking about just sort of like the world being really dark. Like, you know, I know it's Thursday now. We're just talking about Nipsey Hussle's death sort of in a meaningful way. I was really, really fucked up about him being killed. I don't know what it was aside from all the good that he was doing, but I've just... something about his murder really affected me because he was really a person in South LA who was doing everything right to a certain extent. Like, I mean, like, yeah, he made mistakes or whatever, but he took his celebrity and his success and truly, truly reinvested it in his neighborhood and was really wanting to uplift marginalized people that the traditional systems of support, like the government and municipalities, do not care about.
Right.
From bringing his Marathon clothing store where he was killed to his neighborhood and employing people there to starting Vector 90, which was this program. It was like a co-working space for young black kids who were interested in, you know, the STEM field to go and find new ways to educate, like to learn about the STEM field and find new options. And he was really, really trying to not just like create opportunity, but he wanted to make his neighborhood, which there's a lot going on there in terms of like gang violence and things like that, but really trying to give people options to keep it a place where people would want to stay and live and keep his community thriving. And to see him just gunned down, you know, in his own neighborhood where he was really loved, just really, it's just so, it's such a hard thing to swallow. And I think a lot of people were wanting to, you know, say like, oh, it's a conspiracy theory because he was doing a documentary about this doctor who would claim to have cured AIDS and things like that. And it was just a hard thing to think that just within the own community, someone took his life.
Yeah.
And I just think it's not just a tremendous loss to LA, to hip hop, to his family and his children, but just as an example for, you know, people, just for our society of somebody who, like, yes, he was a rolling 60s Crip. He really did everything he could to help people. And even to the point where, like, he was supposed to on Monday have a meeting with the LAPD on, like, trying to give them, like, actionable ideas on how to curb gang violence and things like that.
Right.
I think it's really important, I think, people to not let him die in vain and really take a look at, like, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, what'd you expect? He's a gang member and this is going to happen.
Right.
Well, you know, that, granted, yes, he was a gang member. But the altercation that led to his death wasn't over, you know, a gang dispute. It was like a personal dispute. And people need to also recognize that People of color, we don't choose to be in gangs because it's cool.
Yeah.
You right. do that because there are no, we have exhausted options to survive.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, I think we need to look at why we have these sort of ills in our community and also like how we can better serve each other in general. And just like, you know, you don't have to live in a neighborhood that suffers from gang violence to think about how you're contributing to your own neighborhood and if you're actually putting your time and energy in a way that is actually going to help people. So, you know, I just wanted to to speak on that a bit. But, it was really tough.
I just really hope that people use this as an example of, like, I don't want people to be discouraged from investing in community. I want them to use him as an example of how to invest in community. Because I can easily see people saying, like, well, this is why we don't, this is why we have to leave.
Right.
Right.
Or gentrify it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing that, you know, his work was doing. Like, you look at parts of South LA, man, there are parts like where my dad grew up and where a lot of my family lives, where it was predominantly Black, and now it's like 20% or whatever.
Right.
Things are changing, but I think, you know, again, there was a lot. He had a lot of momentum going, and it's just a shame to see something like this happen. I mean, he's only 33 years old. I just want people to check him out and don't just think of him as some gangster rapper who just got killed over some dumb shit. I mean, he did get killed over some bullshit.
What was it that he got killed over?
He had an argument with this other dude.
The guy that was arrested or someone else?
The one that was arrested. And then, like, the security footage, I mean, shows them kind of him coming in and out of the shop to argue, and then eventually he came back with a gun and shot him. I would like for people to, you know, read up a little bit about him and see that there are forces of good out there that are cut down way too short, and this was a prime example of that. And when you look at just sort of the outpouring of emotion from not just people in hip-hop, but just even, like, the LAPD was, like, fucking the police.
The LAPD.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And granted, yes, there's already a tense relationship between, you know, the LAPD and the people that live in this city, but, you know, his dedication to his community transcended, you know, most barriers, so.
Yeah. And just on that subject, somebody else who is just like one of many people who was affected by this, but Russell Westbrook is a LA native, and, you know, he's on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Him and Paul George are like the two leaders of that team and have just been, like, you know, devastated by the loss, and had their first game in LA since Nipsey Hussle was killed. And you know, he was sitting on the bench before the game, like, with headphones on, listening to Nipsey Hussle, and then went out and put up the, just like, was playing out of his mind. As if you're an NBA fan, you know, only Russell Westbrook can. Like, sometimes he just gets this, like, energy over
him, out of body,
where it's just like, I mean, first of all, he's one of the great athletes of all time, but there's also just, like, an energy that is, like, unstoppable and otherworldly that sometimes takes over him. And he put up the second ever 20-20-20, 20 points, 20 rebounds, 20 assists.
Wow.
Which is insane for, I mean, so the first person to do it was Wilt Chamberlain. And he was 7'1 when the average height of NBA players was 6'5. And
so
everyone
like
was about as athletic as, like, you know, like, if you go back and watch, like, 90s college basketball,
right,
it's like, you know, okay.
There's a little speed here and there,
but there's a lot of dudes out there who are like, what is that person doing out there? That's what NBA basketball at that time looked like. And now the average height is 6'7", and everyone is as athletic as Wilt Chamberlain was, and he put up 20-20-20. He was the first person to do it. And, you know, there's pictures of Russell Westbrook and Nipsey Hussle together. Russell Westbrook is also somebody who is very focused on giving back to his community, and also somebody who has Hustle in his nickname. And yeah, it was just a really kind of moving moment. So, shout out to him.
And it's also just, you know, you kind of just see the role of just violence and how it's still kind of, you know, it's still glorified in hip hop too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of, you know, you could just see from people, like, the reactions of rappers, like gangster rappers, like The Game or like Snoop and other people, just being like, kind of really, it just had an effect on people. And I hope that there's a way for everybody to move forward.
Yeah.
Not, you know, not tear us apart even more.
The Department of Homeland Security has done the exact wrong thing, it would seem.
Fuck.
Surprise.
Yeah. So according to a new report in the Daily Beast, the DHS just kind of quietly, behind closed doors, dissolved a unit of analysts in its Office of Intelligence and Analysis, whose job was to focus on domestic terror threats and homegrown violent extremism. And, you know, share what they found with state and local law enforcement. This is the lack of this sort of thing has been the story of the past couple of years. Like the fact that there is not enough intelligence and policing on homegrown terror threats, and they are choosing to kind of walk it back.
Yeah. And the former head of this unit was basically saying, like, oh, it's really not that essential, you know, since like the FBI also does this stuff. And, you know, we want to leave the terrorism stuff to the FBI. And also, like, they're, you know, we don't want any redundant work happening.
Ridiculous.
I'm sorry. You want as much fucking redundant analysis done as possible because you want to ensure the safety of the citizens. The thing is, the local law enforcement that was receiving all of this intelligence does not feel that way at all about this unit. This LA County Sheriff's Department sergeant in this Daily Beast article said that his office, quote, used to receive a significant amount of the material from this department, but that the communications have dried up in recent months. And for the last 6 months, he said, this unit has been mostly silent. And he said this has been consistent with broader changes in how the department communicates with his office. And this is a quote from him. It says, quote, it's been very quiet lately. It's changed with the new administration. It doesn't seem to be as robust, as active, as important. It is important, I'm sure, but it's not a priority. It doesn't seem like engagement, outreach, and prevention are seen as priority as we used to see in the past. There were roundtable meetings in the past. There was more activity, more training, more seminars. Now it seems like it's gone away.
I have some mixed feelings about this.
Mm.
As a Muslim person,
yes,
because we've been doing a lot of campaigning against the Countering Violent Extremism program that had been created at the DHS under the Obama administration. And the Countering Violent Extremism program was going to fund Muslim organizations to do kind of like COINTELPRO, like see something, say something amongst the Muslim community. So this is an arm of that. We've been doing a lot of campaigning to make sure that money wasn't coming into L.A., which was one of the pilot cities. About $4 million was supposed to come to L.A. to get Muslims to spy on each other, essentially. And
Jesus.
I think my issue is that, for me, domestic terror issues is with white supremacy right now. Like, we see more deaths with white supremacy than we do with Muslim terrorism. But because of who's in the government, there was a stupid amount of money and focus on Muslim communities that wasn't on, you know, where it really should have been. So in one way, I feel like, yay, it worked that we pushed back on DHS from preventing money from coming into the Muslim community locally. But on the same time, it's like, well, I do want the domestic white terrorists that are killing people to be checked.
Stopped
and all of this.
Investigated.
Right.
Yeah. I just don't trust DHS to do anything properly.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like their whole thing is they're just passing the buck to the FBI and they're like, that's their thing.
Right.
And we'll let them, you know, entrap people.
Right.
Like they have, and they have done.
Which
is like, it's wild to think that that's, you know, we're trying to reconcile this one problematic way of trying to keep people safe. But then we see a lot of entrapment of Muslim Americans when it was coming to Islamic terrorism.
Yeah.
But when it comes to far right terrorism, it's still been like, well, you know,
they'll figure it out.
Yeah, and Trump has even said it's a very small amount. It's not even like, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
But when you look at what's happened in Pittsburgh and Charlottesville or Tallahassee.
And Christchurch.
Yeah,
just
around
New Zealand.
Yeah, this is an issue.
Yeah.
This is an actual terrorist threat. You know, for Trump, right? He has to like constantly be winking at the far right.
Right.
Since
totally.
They make
I
up a,
like
a portion. Yeah, they make up a portion of his base. And so to enforce the law and treat them like the terrorists that they are would strain that relationship.
Of course.
And so, like, we're always like, how the fuck could this happen? I mean, really, this just lack of attention to me just reads as a complete endorsement of this this kind of terror. Right. You know, because if you don't even have the wherewithal, or just use, you know, hide behind semantics to be like, oh, well, there's a redundant research. You know, we think it needs to be more efficient. I don't think that's...
Yeah, this is a very strong tactic that they're doing. This ambivalence is a tactic.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
And then, you know, the less they're monitoring it, the more it's going to keep happening, and the less they're able to actually try and stop it at the root.
Yeah.
Again, see, more stuff to put on our plate. To be like, and I mean, what are we doing?
That's interesting. You know, you're doing countering this sort of thing at the grassroots level and at the, like, you know, activism level. And meanwhile, like, Fox News and right-wing media apparatus is the one that pushes back anytime there's any sort of movement to, you know, push back on white supremacy or, you know, vanilla ISIS, as we call them.
Oh, I like that term.
Any type of... Yeah, I mean, Obama, like, did some things to kind of get intelligence communities to, and DHS to focus on right-wing terror, and people flipped out. People lost their shit on Fox News. Rush Limbaugh lost his shit.
And right.
So that's the level that is happening. It's happening out in the open and through a megaphone on the right whenever anybody is trying to push back on this. That's
Tucker
Carlson's of the world. This is the damage they're doing. They all have, Ben Shapiro has blood on his hands when it comes to these attacks.
And this week we saw that the Highlander Center in Tennessee got burned down. That was like the center of civil rights knowledge, and that was done by an arsonist. After the Christchurch shooting happened, there was attacks happening in San Diego at a mosque down in San Diego. So like, all of the things that are happening in society are basically giving permission to the people who would have been observed under this domestic terrorism effort.
Right.
It's giving them permission to keep attacking.
And each attack or action like this, or like, you know, the arson that happened in Tennessee, is meant to just signal to other people. It's like, hey, if you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Hop on in.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think there's the story that's been reported over the past week about how the Trump administration, there were like 25 different security clearance denials that were overturned by the Trump administration. And when you look into the details of how that went, it just gives an idea of like how they control things like this behind the scenes, like how they get their form of corruption through. And, you know, don't, you know, it's a buddy system. It's like any corrupt organization. But I wanted to talk specifically about, so according to the memo, there was a whistleblower who, you know, put together a list of overturned security clearance denials, which included two current senior White House officials, contractors, individuals throughout different components of the executive office of the president, and was like, yo, this is unprecedented. It's not just Jared Kushner, like a lot of people who don't live up to our security standards are getting access to incredible amounts of very, very, you know, sensitive data. She pointed to a wide range of serious disqualifying issues involving foreign influence, conflicts of interest, personal conduct, financial problems, drug use, criminal conduct. And so she raised her concern up the chain of command in the White House, and the White House retaliated by suspending her in January for 14 days without pay for not following a new policy requiring that documents be scanned as separate PDF files rather than one single PDF file.
And this woman is the one she's disabled, right?
She has a rare form of dwarfism. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they were trying to, they put all the documents at a place where she couldn't access them physically.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And so, but I'm pretty sure Elijah Cummings said he is going to be asking, I think the man's name is Carl Klein, who was working in that office, to come to the Hill to basically explain what the fuck is going on over there.
And then she was immediately demoted.
And you know what? She went back to work, though.
Yeah.
Because she's still not, she really gives a shit. And it's terrible. It sucks when you have these people who are, you know, they are actually devoted to trying to be like, hi, we need to make sure that, you know, sensitive information isn't just going to people who are going to, you know, weaponize it or commodify it for their own gain.
Yeah.
And then you have these hacks in here who are just like, I think one of the reasons with the, I think the Jared Kushner one is like, oh, well, those all happened earlier. So let's just clear. Yeah. Let's, I think we can clear.
Yeah, that's what a background check is. That's like, background check. But yeah, that was it before.
What happened to you before you just pulled up to me right now? So I know who the fuck you are.
Yes. That's how reality works.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And it's time to talk about Tucker Carlson, everybody.
Oh.
You know, we could talk shit about him, but why do that when the professionals are already doing it?
For real.
Better than I ever could.
Man, for those of you who are not up on things, there's two men from the Bronx named Desus Nice and the Kid Mero, also known as the Bodega Boys. And they, if you know anything about them, for them, the mantra is BX all day. So they hold it down for the Bronx where they're from. And Tucker Carlson on Monday, he basically tried them by going on about AOC, who is they're tight with, and then talking about how basically her, this kind of feminist politician, look at what it's doing to the men in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Points to Chris Hayes, who is actually a fellow Bronx native.
Yeah.
And MSNBC host.
Went to high school with Mero, right?
Yeah, or with Desus.
Oh, with
Desus. And the rapper Immortal Technique and Lin-Manuel Miranda. They were all in the same school. And basically, Tucker Carlson described Chris Hayes as, quote, what every man would be if feminists ever achieved absolute power in this country. Apologetic, bespectacled, and deeply concerned about global warming. And then Chris Hayes, you know, he responded in his IG stories with him like lifting weights. And he's like, when the feminist juntas are adjudicating our bodies, we must make sure we're ripped enough or else we face summary execution. It's like, you know, just joking about whatever his joke was. But the person who did not like this at all was the Kid Mero. And he came for Tucker Carlson's neck. He just added the man, okay, and said, yo, you know, and if you follow Mero on IG or on Twitter, he only tweets in all caps. So it's always this aggressive. And he says, yo, at Tucker Carlson, you a wild, wild pussy, and I got 10 racks on Chris Hayes washing you handily in the parking lot at Bay Plaza. No gloves, no rules. You're a fucking herb, dog. Nobody at Faux News wants problems. Fall back before you get your bow tie spun 540 degrees with an open hand face smack. And then so that's people amazing. Started coming in to either defend Chris Hayes or to egg Mero on to keep talking that shit. And then, you know, some person said, another person, like they were just going like, yo, keep going, keep going. He said, Tucker won't say shit back. Neither. He knows what time it is. It's just entertainment face ass. Or they come at me with motherfucking lawyers like you come back with your uncle after you get washed on the playground. And then someone then showed, Mero then posted a picture. Someone posted a picture of young Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. Okay? It's an amazing picture.
It's just like just him.
The softest he little looks, pretty boy.
He looks like he looks wonderful. Okay.
Yes.
He looks like someone who is the definition of not wanting smoke. And said, this dude wants smoke? I must be bugging. And then a bunch of cry laughing emojis. My 5-year-old will mop this little anthropomorphic baby penis. Anthropomorphic baby penis. Then another person replies. He goes, no, that's an old pic. This is Tucker Carlson now. And he goes, your man's look like he a scrub potato with a wig on. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, this goes on and on and on. And it was just a great moment where you saw, you know, the Meryl really put up for somebody out there. That's, so, you know.
I don't know how I missed this on the Twitterverse.
Yeah, it was kind of hilarious. Because at first, I didn't realize what Tucker Carlson said. I just saw this Meryl tweet and I was like, what the fuck happened? And then I was like, okay.
Yeah,
well, look at you.
Fucked with Chris Hayes.
Well, yeah, and also because AOC, you know, like Tucker Carlson is just obsessed with her. Yeah. And again, that's their girl too. So he just likes to, you know, I think maybe Meryl's been, he's been brewing, they've been steaming for a little bit.
Yeah.
I like the caps lock and the emoji use in Mero's tweets.
Oh, yeah.
This is solid.
He's a master of aggro scream tweeting, talking shit. So
where does Tucker Carlson shoot his racist white supremacist show? Is it in New York City?
I think maybe in New York.
Because that's where Fox News is headquartered.
Yeah.
He could.
I don't
step up.
Man. If Meryl even showed up, he'd be like, you see, I need to call the police.
Right.
This guy is. And someone tweeted at Meryl. He's like Tucker Carlson right now trying to figure out how to call the police on a tweet.
Yeah.
But a little bit of catharsis for everybody because, you know, there's something Woo. So satisfying about hearing the Kid Mero just fucking come at Tucker Carlson.
Mm. All right. So the Joker movie dropped a trailer, I think, yesterday, 2 days ago. Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker. It's dark, man. It looks like the filmmaker Todd Phillips was saying that it's like inspired by Taxi Driver, and it looks like it's inspired by Taxi
Driver. Todd Phillips, the man who directed Old School and Starsky and Hutch?
Yeah, the auteur behind Old School and Starsky and Hutch.
doing this like serious heavy Joker movie.
Yeah.
I was surprised by the trailer. It looks like
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
It sort of feels like, what was the first Nolan Batman movie? Batman Begins?
Yeah, Batman Begins.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay,
But Batman Begins kind of eased you into it. Like, it still had the Ra's al Ghul.
Sure. I meant more like it was kind of trying to take a real sort of look at how someone ends up the way they do
right,
from, like, a very,
right.
like, not sensational comic book way.
Right.
Where, like, he looks like this guy who started off kind of like a, you know, loner type dude and slowly starting, like, to break.
Right.
And then turns to evil. And I, at first, when I saw, like, the photos from the initial press photos, I was like, do we need another? Like, Jared Leto already took the biggest L.
Right.
You know, like, the Joker and Suicide
right.
Squad.
Just overdoing it.
Yeah.
Like, going
right.
full Joker, I guess, would be the Tropic Thunder
yeah,
way of
big
saying
ass
it.
Smiles and everything,
yeah,
whereas,
yeah.
like, Joaquin looks fucking creepy.
He just
like,
looks...
Okay, I need to Google
I mean,
photo.
He just looks like Joaquin Phoenix, basically.
Right, yeah.
Like, and then sometimes he's wearing clown makeup, but, like... Joaquin Phoenix's performance in The Master is like one of the most just deranged performances ever
yeah.
put on film. Like he's just like so strange. And I feel like there's a little bit of that burn in there and
oh,
a little
yeah.
bit of Heath Ledger as the Joker in
yeah.
there. And it's interesting because so one of the contradictions about Batman is that he's a rich dude
mm.
in
yeah.
Gotham metaphor for New York. And in this movie, we don't see anything with regards to Batman, but we do see that the background of this is Bruce Wayne's father running for like some office. And
mm.
he's like a tan, Trump looking rich dude,
right?
Like billionaire in Gotham.
Mm.
And like he's sort of the, I don't know if he's the antagonist, but he like lends some... I don't know, texture, some anti-capitalist texture and corruption to this world. Because, I mean, I don't know if they're trying to make the Joker an anti-hero.
Yeah,
or,
I was
going
to say, who are we rooting for then?
I think we might be rooting for, you know, Travis Bickle in this one, the Joker.
I mean, because in the trailer, you see him kind of get fucked with, like society sort of pushing him around. You're kind of like, yeah, come on, fucking Joker,
yeah.
get yours.
Beat up by some no good teens.
Yeah, no
but then
good
also
teens.
Some
dude, drunk dudes on the train.
Yeah, some Wall Street drunk dudes.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, could be an interesting
But how
update.
Does it, what's the deal with Trump, though?
So, Trump has been kind of obsessed with Batman. Like, you can tell he's a fan, just going back through his tweets. If Christian Bale
Wait,
turned
really?
Down $50 million to return as Batman, we should have his head examined. What was he thinking? And... So apparently,
well, like he's his agent.
One of the you know how he is with like his. That's the crazy thing about this is like 5-10 years ago, Trump's Twitter was him just giving advice to celebrities.
That's
like,
true.
Like pop
just
culture
like,
takes.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson, like don't
right,
go back
right.
to her. She's
oh,
a
right.
cheating.
And he had a bunch of Katy Perry tweets too.
Yeah. So this was back in those days. and Christian Bale. So apparently they shot some of the Nolan Batman trilogy in Trump Tower. And
oh,
my
shit,
gosh.
Really?
Yeah. And so there's this quote from Christian Bale where he says, we were filming on Batman and Trump Tower, and he said, come up to the office. I think he thought I was Bruce Wayne because I was dressed as Bruce Wayne. So he talked to me like I was Bruce Wayne.
Oh, my God.
And I just went along with it, really.
Oh, my God.
It was quite entertaining. I had no idea at the time he would think about running for president.
Wait, what do you mean he talked to him like he thought he was Bruce Wayne?
He's like, Bruce, great to have you here. Like,
no, hold on.
Because pretend world is real world for Trump.
Yeah.
Hold on. No,
he doesn't know.
No.
He doesn't know what is real?
No!
Oh, my God.
That's motherfucking Christian Bale.
Yeah.
But he just goes, you're in a tuxedo.
Yeah.
You're filming Batman.
Oh
What's
my
up,
God.
Bruce?
Yeah.
I want to tell you a real tragedy when your parents were gunned down.
Yeah.
Oh
after
my
watching
God.
Space Jam.
Isn't that amazing?
Like deadpan. Like.
Well, yeah,
like,
I
no
mean,
irony?
Yeah, and people, like, even behind the scenes of SNL have said, like, he doesn't seem to have a full grasp on, like,
what is real
and what's pretend.
No, whatever. Fuck it.
Yeah, and then, I mean, people
wow.
have also pointed to the fact that his inauguration speech seemed to be at least partially plagiarized from Bane speeches in Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, talking about, like, taking Washington's... we are transferring power from Washington, D.C. and giving it back to you, the people, which, I mean, that's pretty standard, like, populism rhetoric, but it's, like, very spot on, like, Bane-style shit.
Oh, why, what was the Bane quote?
His quote was, "We take Gotham from the corrupt, and we give it back to you, the people." So, I mean, it's the same.
Yeah, okay, wow.
Just throw Gotham in there.
And then, could you imagine at a speech, he's like, "And to the people of Gotham, to you, the people of America."
Hold on. Wait, sorry, go back.
Just lifting Batman scripts.
There is also, he weighed in when Ben Affleck was picked to be the next Batman. Trump came in with the prescient take, "Everyone should calm down. Ben Affleck is going to do a great job as Batman." Yeah, he got two movies out there and then dropped out. But And then at one point, there's a story, an anecdote from his background where he gave these children. In 2015, Trump gave helicopter rides to small children and told one of them that he was Batman. So he was talking to the press. This is like, you know, standard Trump shit. He said, "We have quite a few children going to take rides today. Where are the children? Get them over here."
So just, oh my, like, goodness.
Already yelling like they're props. So into the helicopter go William 9, Sean 6, Brendan 5, and Henry, who just turned 3. And their mother went with them. Then Mr. Trump, one of the kids said, "Mr. Trump." And Trump said, "Yes." He said, "Are you Batman?" Trump said, "I am Batman."
Oh, that doesn't feel as bad.
Yeah, it's
the kid cute. Asked him. I thought he was just going to be like, "You like the helicopter?"
"I'm Batman."
"I'm fucking Batman."
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's true. It's not as bad as it seems at first.
Well, we paid the kids to set him up like that.
I think we should give him the benefit of the doubt.
Benefit of the doubt that he knew Christian Bale wasn't fucking Bruce Wayne.
He might think he's Batman, though, at this point.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, though, because Batman comes from a wealthy background, right? So Trump's like, "I'm wealthy of all the superheroes out there."
I mean, he is the one. Right. He inherited a lot of his wealth.
Right.
He's more, I mean, when you look at his
parents. He's afraid. He has a big fear of stairs.
When you look at his parents, though, he's more of.
Wait, the one born in Germany or the one born in America?
Oh, right. Which, right.
Yeah, he's lying about that. He was born in New York, right? His dad, but he said he was born in Germany. Because he wants that, like, Nazi cred? I don't know.
Right? Like, he's like... Not,
or he just wants to be an immigrant.
I didn't just wash up here.
Like an immigrant story.
I don't know.
But
who knows?
When you look at a picture of them, they actually look like characters from a Tim Burton Batman movie.
Absolutely.
Like, legit.
Mary, look, his mom?
His mom is wild looking.
Looks like she would have been in Mars Attacks.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's been, like, the Batman Returns storyline where... I think that was it. The
Penguin?
Second, the Penguin, where like a rich New York real estate mogul gets the Penguin to like run for mayor so he can manipulate him. Like, there's been some Trump overtones. Like, Trump basically could be a Batman character.
Well, his whole thing is just his life is a trope.
Right. Yeah. So, his life is
a trope.
It's funny when you watch these old movies, how many of them Trump actually plays cameos in. Like,
right.
That, there's that Home Alone movie where he's a cameo.
Home Alone 2, baby.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, right. Because doesn't he run into him in like the lobby of the Plaza Hotel or something like that?
Yeah.
Hey.
Like layers and layers of tropeness.
Layers and layers of makeup.
I mean, when you look at his IMDb, he was in The Little Rascals?
Oh, yeah, dude.
When was he in The
Little
Rascals?
Are you looking at IMDb?
He was in Eddie, of course, because any fucking movie to do... Damn, Whoopi Goldberg's been in two motherfucking movies with Donald Trump. Eddie and The Associate. He's in 54. He was in Zoolander, 2 Weeks Notice, Wall Street.
Well, no wonder he thinks movies are real then, because he's like in...
He's just in them playing himself, so he thinks that's true of everyone else. Yeah. And we have some breaking news that Hansy Joe... has broken his silence and basically said the thing that we said on yesterday's episode he should have said. And this is no longer breaking news by the time you listen to this, but he was basically like, "I have learned from my mistakes and from the changing conversation around this." I'm sure he fucked it up in some way, but he has at least addressed it.
Well, the text of the video that he posted, tweeted a video out, doesn't have any apologies in it. It's more like, "Social norms are changing. I understand that. I've heard what these women are saying."
Oh,
politics,
so he
to
left
me,
out the "I'm sorry" part.
Politics, he's just defending it. Politics to me has always been about making connections, but I will be more mindful about respecting personal space in the future. That's my responsibility.
Making connections.
And I will meet it.
From my forehead to other people's forehead, physically.
Nose to nose.
Nose to nose. Yeah.
But so, I'm sure the video might, I mean, there's a 2-minute video, so yeah, I'll give it the dignity of listening to it first. But yeah. Either way, Joe, don't need you.
Yeah, you're good, man.
Just retire, baby. You know what I mean?
All good.
Just fall back.
Well, Taz, it has been a pleasure having you.
Well, thanks for having me. This
back
was a lot
on
of
the
fun.
Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you?
At Tazzy Star.
Hey.
Tazzy Star.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the things. Tazzy Star.
Yeah, yeah.
M-E.
And you got a podcast?
I have a podcast. Good Muslim, Bad Muslim.
Yeah.
Listen to wherever you're listening to this. We are there.
Yeah. And do you have any live shit coming up?
I do have live shit coming up. If you're in Toronto, come Ooh. Check us out at the Aga Khan Museum.
We know the Toronto Zeit Gang
is
out here.
I know y'all out there.
We'll be doing a live show on April 13th. And then my co-host Zara Nurbash is going to be doing comedy stand-up at the Aga Khan Museum on the Friday and Sunday around those shows. It's going to be fun.
Hell yeah. Awesome. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
There is. There's a lot of talk in about nemesis on the tweets. And Aminatu, who also has a podcast, Aminatu Sao from Call Your Girlfriend podcast, had one tweet which I thought was funny. She said, "The reason your nemesis is thriving is because she submitted her book proposal, wrote that script, met her deadline, made a therapy appointment, made plans with friends, is doing literally anything more productive than being on Twitter displaying unhealthy emotions." I feel attacked.
Damn.
Oh,
that just made me feel worse.
I know.
I need that Michael Phelps app now.
What's the Michael Phelps?
Yeah, what's that?
That talk, whatever, that therapy app he's hawking?
Right.
All right, that joke didn't land. All right, well,
I'm not familiar with the reference. Miles, where can people find you other than following Michael Phelps?
I'm just, you know, I'm Michael Phelps bong guy. but yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like. Oh, shout out to the Zeit Gang, David at YR0, who's out here doing the legit mosquito research and was like, the Skrillex thing is real.
No.
So shout out to you, my man in the lab. Yeah, this listener, David, does research with mosquitoes, especially around like mosquito-borne illnesses. So I'm glad that we have people doing the good work in the listening community. A couple of tweets I like. One is from at Paris Hilton's dad, and this is a scene from Shark Tank. Me, ridiculously wide sunglasses. Shark 1, I'm out. Shark 2, I'm out. Hammerhead shark, I'm listening. Just a stupid dad joke. And another one is from Liz Hackett at Liz Hackett. A posh woman asked where I got my boots, and I didn't want to say TJ Maxx, so I told her I won them in a bar fight.
Oh.
don't be mad.
I like
you
that.
Got the deal at TJ Maxx, though. Yeah. You know? But I also kind of like if this did actually happen, if you ask someone where they got something, they're like, in a bar fight.
I love that. I'm always the first one to jump in.
Took it off somebody.
Right.
I'm always the first one to jump in and say, like, oh, I got it for like X price because it's always a bargain. But bar fight. I'm going to bar fight.
Why?
But I thought you were just going to say, like, I'm always the first one to jump into a bar fight.
Right. Well, usually I'm the first one in a bar fight. If someone's knocked out, I steal their shoes.
Coming from across the room.
I love that.
Taking your jacket off.
Oh, man. See, because I grew up in a house where my mom, she just lived for the deal.
Yeah.
So I think the same way, right? You know, immigrant moms, they love the fucking the markdown.
You always have, even when you're not being asked about the price, you're like, do you want to know how much I got this?
This is a $200 shirt. I got it for $19.
Yeah.
Shout out to Lomans. That's what she would always say. My mom's
now I'm
going to
say bar
gang.
Fight.
There you go. Bar fight it up.
All right. Couple tweets I've been enjoying. Speaking of dad joke, by the way, I loved Marrow's reference. He said, Tucker Carlson's softer than a morning diaper, which is specifically for anybody who is like literal dad joke.
Why?
Because they're soggy. Like the kids just pissing in them all night. And so they just get, they're like ready on the brink of falling apart. Like,
oh, wow. Just disintegrating.
I like how Miles was like, why?
Nah, I ain't ready for that.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, a very,
in my mind, I'm like, I feel like a baby wets themselves or shits themselves. They start crying, and that would induce diaper changing. You know what I mean?
Oh, hell no, man.
No, parents got to sleep.
Yeah.
See? Fuck that. Oh, good. Good thing to know. Now I'll be nah, it's good, baby. You know, let them diapers get soft.
There is a thing called sleep training where it's just like letting your kid cry. It's like people,
does that
people
work?
Talk. Yeah, no, you have to basically teach them that you're not coming to every time they cry.
Right.
But it's like, wait, so training is me just like sleeping while they cry? That's like, that doesn't seem like a very active, like fun thing for them.
That sounds like something a page out of my child rearing book. Yeah. It's like, yo, don't let the kid bother you, man.
Also, on the Koch brothers tip, Crystal deodorant. Also, please, if you hear Crystal deodorant ads on our site, we do not endorse that shit either.
Man, every time I use a Crystal deodorant, I remember my dad, like in the early 90s when that shit first came out, he was like, I'm using these crystals. And then that was like the first deodorant in my house.
Right.
My dad's artsy and smelly.
Right.
And then I would use it when puberty hit. Man, I stunk like shit.
Yeah, man.
What the fuck?
It's just rubbing something on your
sorry
body.
Sorry about these weird ads. We're dealing with it.
Yeah, we're dealing with it.
Because after joining a very big operation.
I have a call in 2 minutes about this shit.
To rip heads off.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Some tweets I've been enjoying. At Sharpling tweeted, someday a baby's first words will be, please take this Ramon shirt off me. I don't like their music and this shirt implies that I'm a fan. And Tim Everybody Barnes tweeted, annually I have vivid flashbacks of the time I had to break up a blowjob during an afternoon screening of Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahool, at a movie theater I worked in Riverside, California. How are you?
Oh, Riverside, though.
Damn.
Yeah. You know how that goes. Have you seen those shirts? Suicide, homicide, genocide, Riverside.
Yes.
You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
This one is called Flowers, since we're talking about that super bloom. And just, look, I know there's a lot going on in the world, but we got to focus on the good and keep perpetuating the good and spreading the good, and we will overcome it all. This is what I believe. That's what I have to tell myself to wake up every day. And it's been working. So this is from Sampa the Great.
Oh, hell yeah. I love Sampa the Great.
She's
holding down. Hell yeah, I've heard of this musician.
Hell yeah. I think it's on your playlist, man. This is Sampa the Great. Please enjoy Flowers.
Please enjoy, guys. This is big for me.
There you go.
All right, guys, we are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
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 Magnify times 10. Rinse and repeat, suck it up again, please. Yes, I do pretend. Same sweet smile, dagger in my hand, sweet. Honey too sticky. Might get caught up. I'll get caught up. I'll get caught up. Melody beat. Silly summers always.